God is for us. You say, I thought the Holy Spirit was praying for us. Verse 26. He is. The Spirit of God is occupied with intercession for us. The Son of God. How does He spend His time? He always lives, Hebrews 7:25, to make intercession for us. I tell you, sometimes I try not to do this, I really do, but every now and then I find myself saying, I'll pray about that, and then not praying. But there's never a day when Jesus Christ is not praying for me and for you, Christian.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series, An Overview of Romans. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, The Security of the Children of God. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
We will be conformed to the image of His Son. Verse 23, our adoption as sons, when we will know full privileges, the full extent of the adoption will be known. Or as He puts it at the end of verse 23, the final phrase, the redemption of our body. Philippians 3:21, He'll take our humble bodies and transform them into conformity with His glorified body. What a day that will be. It will be pleasures forever. I mean pleasures, capital P, that will make all these little pleasures of earth, which are very real and very good. God created these things. They'll be dwarfed. At His right hand, Psalm 16 says, there are pleasures forever. And it's not wrong to think about that and enjoy that thought. That's what He's going to do. We'll be absent from the body. We will be at home with the Lord. We will be in the Father's house. We'll be at home. It is very much better to be with Christ. The New Testament says all these things about the glorified state. And notice what He says, verse 30. He says it in the past tense. God has moved from eternity past, when He foreknew us, to eternity future, when we will be glorified. And I just naturally say it that way. We will be glorified because I'm here in time, and I will speak in the future tense when I speak about glorification. But God, notice what tense He used. Those whom He justified, these He also glorified. It's a done deal. It's as good as done, we say. You know, we don't wisely, if we've been around the block, we don't say things like that in our own ways. The Giants just picked up a real good player, and I was pretty excited. I was in a restaurant, and they were on the screen, and here comes Carlos Beltran with a Giants uniform, and I say, they picked him up. And then I read the article. I went back and read the article, and they said the Giants didn't even tell the guys and didn't say who. You know, basically the team was excited, but it means one guy is out. And they didn't even mention it until they saw Carlos Beltran in the flesh in Philadelphia where they were. And I thought, wise. Don't be telling a guy he's gone and then the thing falls apart. You know, well, you're driving on a long summer day and you think, maybe we should stop. The kids are behaving and they're hanging in there for a long trip. Maybe we ought to get some ice cream at the next gas station. You're wise to not say it. Because you don't know if they've got ice cream at the next gas station, right? And you don't want to not, you know, fulfill that one. So you maybe just say, hang in there. And then you say, when you see the ice cream in the flesh, hey, kids, you know, because you and I can't, we don't know what, we're, things are contingent with us. But nothing can thwart God's purposes. He said, I'm going to get 100 of my sheep home, not 99, 100. I'm going to glorify them, and so I'll tell them that in the past tense. Those whom He foreknew, He predestined, He called, He justified, He also glorified. God is for us. Who can be against us? And of course, that's what He says, verse 31. He just moves right on. You say, Scott, it sounds as if God does it all. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a real mess, a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. But doesn't it take faith? Scott, don't you have to believe? Yes, but he hasn't mentioned faith since Romans 5, verse 2, has he? And I said, we're in this whole section where he's not talking about faith. He's talking about, Romans 8 is about God and what God has done. And that's the object of our faith. Don't misunderstand me. And nobody's saved without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what he's talking about now. He's talking about God's eternal purposes. And he moves from eternity past to eternity future. And he says, what shall we say? What then shall we say to these things? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sing like you've never sung before. Worship his holy name. I loved that new song. I said, Bill, sing it again. And then I got here and I said, sing it at the end. You know, it's a great thing to say, what should we say? Oh, when you think of Romans 1 through 8, what should we say? That God is for us. Who can be against us? Now just take verse 31 for a minute. And I think it's a good practice to do this. Leave out the key phrase. Leave out the if phrase. And just say, who's against us? Well, Satan for starters. That slithering serpent. That roaring lion. He hates God. He hates God's children. He's the destroyer. He'd like to take my life and ruin it. He'd like to take your life. He'd like to take your marriage and just trash it. Satan's against us. That's who. The world is against us. You say, oh, the world's a pretty nice place. I don't know where you've been living. But you haven't been living in the Bible. I'm not saying the world isn't a beautiful place and that we ought not. I'm simply saying that the Bible says the world. Don't marvel, Jesus said, if the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. A slave isn't greater than his master. If the world hates me, the world will hate you. The world and its whole system is designed to destroy, to deceive, to seduce, to neutralize, to maim, to drug, to beat us up and leave us for dead. Because it's his system, the god of this world, Satan. And he's got systems, he's got governments. He's got whole governments under his thumb, so it seems. So, you know, you could answer this a lot of ways. Who's against us? But enough of that. Don't rule out the main phrase. God is for us. Who's against us? Nobody. Of any consequence? Nobody. God Almighty is for me. What do I care about some government? What do I care about what people at work think of me? God is for me. What do I care if they kind of raise their eyebrows and smirk behind my back in the locker room because I won't go with them because I'm following Jesus Christ? God is for me. Who can be against us? Nobody. Nothing of any consequence. No, what do I care if they ridicule my faith? What do I ultimately care even what my family thinks? Jesus said, listen, if you don't know, get this straight. He said, you got to leave father, mother, wife, kids, everything and follow me. And when you do, it gets all in perspective. And he knows what it's like. Remember in Mark 3 when his own family came and said he's lost his senses. And they said, we better take custody of him. And his mom and his brothers. Now, we don't know if it was the extended family that said, I think we should have him committed. And they kind of got pushed into it. We don't know the whole details. We just know that his mom and brothers came then in that context after they said he's lost his senses. His own kin said that. And they came and they said, hey, your mom and brothers are outside. And Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? But the one who does the will of God. He knows what it's like. You know, we sing, he knows my name. He's the sympathetic one. He knows what it's like even to be rejected by family. But if God is for us, Joshua and Caleb knew. The Lord is for us. We don't have to be afraid. David knew. You come to me with your big old sword and your armor and stuff. I come to you, Goliath. After Goliath said, I'm going to feed this dog to the birds. You bring a dog to me? And David said, You come with all your stuff. I come in the name of the Lord of Israel. If God is for us, who can be against us? But you say, Scott, is he? Can we be sure? Read on, verse 32. How can I know he's for me? He didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He gave everything for you and me. He is for us. Take God's word for it. Take a blood-stained hill outside of Jerusalem for it. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, the psalmist said. Oh, chase that one down the paths that you and I tend to go down. He didn't spare his own son. Won't he freely give us all things? No good thing will he withhold from you. Yeah, but you say, but I'm not married. If he wants you married, if it's better for you to be married, he'll see to it that you're married. And you say, yeah, but I'm married. You singles didn't know that, did you? And I got the wrong one. No, you didn't. The day you said, I will. God won't withhold any good thing. He is for you. He didn't spare his own son. He'll freely give you everything. You can't have kids. Then he knows why. You lost a child. And I don't say these things lightly. You lost your beloved. You're a widow. You've seen financial ruin. No matter what it is, take God's word for it. He didn't spare his own son. He'll freely give you everything you need. Take verse 28, verse 31, and verse 32 and memorize them. In fact, memorize the chapter. But I'm telling you, take 28, 31, and 32 and have them close to your vest, right in your heart. You know what I mean? Great, great place to bank on God's word. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Verse 33. And by the way, verse 31 starts with what? He starts asking questions now. And this is where we live, isn't it? It's where I live. Every one of these questions, I'm so glad it was written down. And this is a great place to read someone. Just read the questions out loud and let the answers reverberate through the hospital room or through the painful coffee shop as you're dealing with someone. And I don't say this lightly. I don't mean that we just come and paste little verses on life. These aren't little verses. These are eternal truths of God. And we should speak the truth in love. And it doesn't mean that we don't come alongside and sometimes just weep with those who weep. But I'm telling you, don't ever get so weepy that you can't read Romans 8 and enjoy it. For yourself first. And if God opens up doors in the right setting to encourage others. Who would accuse you? God Almighty. Oh, look at that. Verse 33. Who would bring a charge against God's elect? Oh, I don't like that doctrine of election. Well, I do. And whether you like it or not, it's in the Bible. And we're his elect. We're his chosen. That's where he started this. He foreknew us. And who could possibly bring a charge against God's elect? He's the one. God is the one who justified us. He declared us right. Nobody can bring a charge against God's elect. Oh, I know Satan accuses, but God doesn't listen to him. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The only one who could condemn you, verse 34, who's the one who condemns, is the one who died for you. Christ Jesus is he who died? Yes, rather, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. By the way, when I said that our security rests on the finished work of Christ, how do I know that it's finished? How do you know? What about that sin just this week? What about that willful sin? How do we know that the finished work of Christ is finished? Well, he said so, you say, and I agree. But the great proof that God was completely satisfied with the death of his son is verse 34. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, who was what? Raised. God raised him from the dead. He put all my sin on Christ, and then he raised Christ from the dead. I'll never see my sin again. Who is the one who condemns? Not Christ Jesus. He died and rose again on my behalf. In fact, look at verse 34. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for me and you, Christian. God is for us. You say, I thought the Holy Spirit was praying for us. Verse 26. He is. The Spirit of God is occupied with intercession for us. The Son of God, how does he spend his time? He always lives, Hebrews 7:25, to make intercession for us. I tell you, sometimes, I try not to do this, I really do, but every now and then I find myself saying, I'll pray about that, and then not praying. Have you ever, if you're praying for me, thank you. And I'd love it when someone says, Scott, I pray for you. Some of you tell me you pray for me daily. I am so thankful for that. But bottom line, I know you're cut out of the same cloth I'm cut out of. There are times, no doubt, I will tell you that I forget to pray, but there's never a day, there's never a time, there's never a crisis when Jesus Christ is not praying for me and for you, Christian. God is for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Now, let me just, we got to cream this. I'm going to have to. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? His final question, you might ask. Can anything separate us? Listen to his answer. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Sickness? War? Crime? Abuse? Financial ruin, even to the point of being hungry and not famine? I mean, put verse 35 in today's headlines or tomorrow's worries. And he asks, can anything separate us? And he gives a fairly thorough answer, does he not? And it is. But then he doesn't leave it there. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, he quotes the 44th Psalm. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. Even those things, we don't just conquer. We are more than conquerors, the old King James had it. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Do you notice in all this doctrine, all this teaching, the personal nature? He foreknew us. He loves us. He didn't spare his own son. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And I repeat it. I'm not shy to repeat myself, particularly on this point. Habitually, the New Testament says, not loves us, present tense, but loved us, past tense, to remind us of verse 32. The great demonstration of God's love, the great guarantee of God's love for you is not him just saying, I love you. It is, I loved you enough to not spare my own son. It always is riveted back to that time and place when on Calvary, God himself bore our sins in his body. And that's why Christians thrill when we hear Paul say, when I got to town, I talked about Jesus Christ and him crucified. We never tire of it. We thrill at it because it is the measure, the objective measure of his love for us. I'm convinced, verse 38, I am sure, I am persuaded, I am thoroughly convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, He lists everything he can think of once again, and he brings in the spiritual realm. Not angels, good angels. Not angels, bad angels, fallen angels. Not all the domain of darkness. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says, and I love this because Paul writes everything he can think of, and then notice the last phrase, nor any other created thing. If you think you've found a category he didn't name, you just lost. Because God is what? Creator. And everything else. Contingencies, everything is what? Creation. He's the creator. The universe is his created domain. Everything, nor any other created thing. Paul says it in a way that there's no exclusions. Nothing can separate you and me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, Christian, enjoy your salvation. Splash around in it. Take Romans 8 and just learn it in the depths of your heart. There's no condemnation. There's no separation. The Father chose us from all eternity. The Son finished the work when He died and rose again. The Spirit, the gracious gift of the Spirit of God, is the first fruits, the earnest money, that He'll finish what He started. And the Bible, all over the Bible, states this in clear, clear statements, of which this one is one of the best. Oh, Father, we praise you for this. We thank you that it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. We praise you that nothing can separate us from your love. No contingency down the line, not things present nor things to come, not powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing. Oh, you are worthy indeed to be praised. We want to sing like we've never sung before. We want to lift our voices in praise to you. We want to thank you for the cross. We want to worship you as the altogether worthy one. You are indeed God Almighty and God our Savior.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, The Security of the Children of God, a message from our series, An Overview of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. Now, we're very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We invite you to learn more about it. Continually growing to nearly 25,000 pastors involved throughout 25 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, the Philippines. We've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception back in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland that shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. It's a perfect break in the work week in an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us 1-800-935-3020. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. At this time of year, we'd like you to consider a special year-end gift to help us meet the ever-increasing costs of purchasing airtime and meeting the costs of the downtown space we rent each week. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Oh, what privilege Israel had. And from whom? The highest privilege is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all God. Blessed forever. Amen. By the way, verse 5 is a clear statement of the deity of Christ. From this nation came forth the one who is God over all. Don't ever get to where you can read that kind of thing and not stop and worship the Lord.
Join us again next time as we continue our series, An Overview of Romans. Pastor Scott brings the message, God's Unshakable Purpose. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.